Yeah, Dustin Bufflin's torn a muscle. He's done for the season. Andrew Ladd's day-to-day, but I'm going to also throw in a doubtful injury in the Toronto game. Klingberg's up. He'll be in the lineup tonight. None of our other walking wounded are close enough to be in consideration.
We're just getting going, so we'll ask you a couple questions about the health that you're at, your coaches.
Yeah.
How do you determine that?
Oh, a bunch of things. I mean, the players' individual play, other players' play. Somebody else takes their job for that night. Somebody else deserves to play. Adherence to all policies of the hockey club. So those are the things that I'll factor into to making a decision like that.
And do you determine when you'll, on a case-by-case basis, when you'll expound on that, or will it always be something, coach's decision, and that will always say that?
If I think that there's something that we need to get ahead of, that's coming out, like there's different, so we're talking about Evander Kane, but we're not, right? Let's talk about in general. Let me see if I can get a...
We'll talk about Evander after.
No, let me see if I can pick on a guy that I won't, something that was negative. I can't. I mean, I had a player that had a serious issue at home and it involved the police once. That's coming out the second it happens, because it's coming out. If this situation with Evander Kane... Has been addressed three times. He's not the only one. And sometimes it's play, and I'll move it around and answer as I see fit. But the fact of the matter is, rarely does a player come out of the lineup because he's scoring too many goals. So I don't need to take you through the negative of what that is. I have dealt with it. I've dealt with it directly and clearly with the team or the player. And you guys don't need trouble finding things to write about. So don't need help, I'm sorry, is what I meant. Yeah.
We expected it would be understanding.
Right.
So that's why you're asking.
No, I understand that. I understand that's your job. That's, you got to find out the why. And if I don't tell you, you're going to work really hard at finding it out from somewhere else. And I got no problem with that either. But I have my responsibility is to be open and honest with you where I think I need to. And after that, I have no responsibility in this room, but a tremendous one in the other room. To set policy and standards for our on and our off ice game and set fairly clear lines for the players to understand what the ramifications of that, and we're still we got a lot of work to do in all those areas.
So you're still not saying that this was on ice or?
Oh, I haven't said that at all. No, yeah, correct. Or any of the other coaches' decisions that I've made, because there's also been coaches' decisions that you don't know about.
Did you say you addressed this three times?
No, I didn't say it with Evander. I said I've addressed the situations like this before, you know. No, it would not concern me at all. It is what it is. The rules are the rules. And I have a responsibility. And now, is that exactly what he said? You sure you got that 100% right? Because somebody else told me basically that was a part of the message that he said.
He said later on, yep. He asked again that he would hope that it would be appropriate.
Sweet, message delivered. Because that's all, and I'm not joking around. That's all he has to do today. That's his job today. Everything else has been taken care of. That's his job today. Well, do you think I should be? I know what I'm asking. I'm just, like, would you if you were in my situation? So, you know what, yeah, if he had robbed a bank and had 50 people hostage at his house, I'd be concerned about, like, the speculation because people keep talking about it and thinking about it. I'm done with it. I've dealt with it. I've given it enough emotion, attention, as I need to give it. It's been handled well, and we move on. Well, he's had the exact same smile on his face that he does every day when he walks in the room. So he's been, how you doing today, Mike? All teeth, great. I gave him the same speech I give every guy, first gamer. except it doesn't go very well with the goalies, because goalies, but for players, you know, it's the standard. You're going to, you might win 15 Stanley Cups and 10 Vezinas, I guess, for a goalie, the Hart Trophy, whatever it is, but you're only ever getting one first game, only one. So stand at the blue line or on the bench, soak up the national anthem, feel the crowd, be nervous. If you need to puke, you just go ahead and do it and get back out there like you've worked. It's not just for you. It's, you've worked your lifetime to get. There's very few things that people start at 5 years old and get a chance to find out 15 years that they might be good enough to do it. You get out in that blue line and you take it all in, and your parents are going to be in tears, and it's a beautiful day, so enjoy it. Except goalies don't get that chance because they got to stay in that zone or whatever the heck that is they do for a living. So have fun. Yeah. Right. So it's a huge accomplishment. It's also kind of unusual to goaltenders, because you're seeing more and more say that you won't be a backup in the American League. You're going to play as a number one in this. So you're going to see it more and more with goaltenders. I don't think it's a function that he's necessarily traveled this enormous road to get here. He's a very talented man and played well. Yeah, he's good. He's in. Yeah, we're in the coach's office trying to do the math on this, because what are the stats? And they change all the time, but you know, how many guys play 500 games? And you're going to get a fairly big number, like relative to the number of guys that play 1,000 games, but not relative to the guys who play 100 games. I mean, it's an unusual thing, especially with one organization, and to play it in his role. So he hasn't really in his career gotten to the 15-minute mark or that 14-minute mark, which says you're not a fourth-line player. You know, those guys get churned in and out of the league really quickly. Or they go up and they play on the third line for 5 years and then drop down to that fourth-line role. But he's been a guy that's become so valuable with his work ethic, his being a great teammate, his face-off prowess, that he's done something a little bit unusual. And I've really grown to see the benefit. I mean, when I first got here, he's hurt. When he comes back off his injury, you know, it's one of those ab injuries that they just can't work hard enough to get back to their game when they first come back. You got to play him through it a little bit, and then he's gotten more and more important. And you've seen our fourth line play more in the last 2 weeks, and it's a function of him. I got a better chance at times winning the faceoff when he goes out than anybody else, and the other guys play with more confidence. So he's, you know, good players make the people around him good and better, and he's been that kind of man for me. I'm really, really happy with him. No, we tried to get him. I liked him when he first came in. We needed that guy in one of my previous teams. I don't think that's tampering now, is it, when I'm coaching the guy? No, I'm safe. But you don't know a guy until you get in there. I appreciate the fact that it looks like that. It's not important that you necessarily feel that you have the final decision. It's that you make the right ones or the consistent ones. I'm not even sure the right ones is the right word. You're consistent with that you make the decision and that you're consistent with that voice. I think that's important. At the end of the day, the players run the room. When it's going well, when it's right, the players run the room. The coach doesn't handle anything for the most part. You open the door. You know, you've got your standards. You set them. They take those standards as theirs. And that's who the Winnipeg Jets are, because the players say so. That's what we're trying to get to. Oh, not even close. No. But not because they've got so much to learn as a group. As this, and we're going to have, there's a reset button that happens every year, right? Four new guys come in. That's a different team. And you go through that process of becoming that team again. So that happens every year. But we've got a ways to go before we've standardized. This is how we operate every single day. And then once we finally get that down, that you know exactly what's happening when you come to the rink, all the small details that we're chasing around right now, we don't have to. When we get to that point, then we can relax and do different things and take a day off, and or just have fun or go out and have games on the ice or whatever it is. Once you get your what your daily routine, this is who we are down, then you can allow different personalities of the coach to come out, and you can I can have more fun and they can have more fun. Right now, we're starting. This is who we are. We still have to establish that. It's going to take a while. Andrew Ladd? Completely doubtful. He's not playing tonight. No, he's doubtful. I've got him listed as day-to-day because there might be a chance that Buffalo or... I'd list him at day-to-day if we were in November and not be 100% sure when that day comes. Right now, I'm telling you, it's day-to-day, but that's more based on his personality than the injury. The injury says, I'm not going to see this guy for the rest of it, but he may walk in the door and say, yeah, I feel good. And if the docs clear him and the captain says he wants to play, then he's in the lineup.